Rams fans, welcome into Rams Showcase. My name is Sheriff Joe Bags. Tonight's quarterbacks in the news heavy for the Rams this week. Plus, the Rams exit week one leading the NFC West. And later, it's Niners week. We'll preview the 49ers at Rams. That game, of course, taking place SoFi Stadium this coming Sunday. Before we hop into the madness, just a quick reminder, RamsShowcase.com. That's where the bulk of the action happens. Also, where you can grab your Rams Showcase merch. If you would like to follow on social media, that would be at Sheriff Joe Bags, at Ram Showcase, just about everywhere. Threads, I'm having a hard time getting into that one, but everywhere else, yeah, we're good to go. Let's go ahead and hop into the madness here. So, like I said, quarterbacks hitting the news heavy for the Rams this week. We'll go ahead and start with Matthew Stafford. Reports say that quarterback Matthew Stafford will appear on season two of the Netflix series Quarterbacks. And I got to say, this is awesome. I am absolutely pumped to watch this season unfold with a closer look on Matthew Stafford and, of course, his family. If you saw season one of Quarterbacks, obviously it is super, super cool. You get a real deep inside look of these guys, and that's always awesome, right? It's like a different take on a Hard Knocks style kind of series, and that is really cool. What I will say about this is the unveiling of this news heading into week two of the season is rather unfortunate. What am I supposed to do with this? What are we supposed to do with this information? I feel like we were just told what our Christmas gift is 3 weeks before we're allowed to open it. I'm excited, but I do feel like this news had no business really coming out right now. There's a reason that Netflix likes to keep these things a secret, so it coming out now does feel unnecessary. Hopefully it doesn't impact the series negatively. I don't know if it really will or if that's a true option. But obviously, like I said, there's a reason that Netflix likes to keep this a secret till the end of the season. So I do think it's rather unfortunate that we got this news now. We haven't heard from anybody else on any other quarterbacks who are said to be in season two of this series. We did get like a rumor that Joe Burrow was involved. And then also I would like to add the tag that nobody inside the building has actually said this or confirmed this, although I don't think it's not true. I do think it is real news, but I do think it's important to notice that Jordan, Stu, JB, MJD, nobody is talking about this except for obviously people around the internet. So I don't not believe the news. I just do think it's rather unfortunate that this did come out. And you would think that if it did come out and everybody was excited that this came out, that there would be some piggybacking on some people inside the building on pushing this news forward and kind of hyping it up of like, yo, season two, Matthew Stafford. But of course, that is not the case. Ultimately, I am absolutely jacked to see Matthew Stafford on season two of Quarterbacks. But again, I got to add that little tag in there that there's a reason Netflix likes to keep these things pretty hush. And I do think it's unfortunate that this news came out. Other news when it comes to Rams quarterbacks. Stetson Bennett is being added to the non-football injury list. There is no word on how much time Bennett will miss or what he is actually missing for. Speculation, of course, is flying. But to echo Sean McVay here just a little bit, out of respect for Bennett and whatever the situation happens to be, you know what? I don't really want to dive into it too much. I, of course, hope everything is okay with Stetson Bennett, of course, but I don't want to dive into the speculation, especially with some of the rumors that have already been rolling. We'll just kind of keep it pretty laid back and simple. Of course, like I said, I really hope that everything's okay with Stetson Bennett, but a non-football injury list kind of situation, there's no telling how much time he's going to miss, when he'll return, or what is going on. And I'll be honest, it's really none of our business what is going on. When you hear the report and the way that Sean McVay, he was kind of talking about it, it made it clear that it's none of our business. And when Stetson Bennett comes back, well, I hope he's ready to roll and hope that everything's okay in the meantime. But when it comes to football and the Los Angeles Rams, it does appear that Brett Rypien will be standing in as QB2 for maybe the rest of the season, but at least, at the very least, for now. Brett Rypien is going to be handling the QB2 duties right now. But I got to say this too. We'll step in here with a little sidebar that Matthew Stafford looks so good right now. So he's also the way that he mentioned going into the season that he felt better now than he has in years at this time of the season, or like at that point of the off season and all that stuff. I got to say, I mentioned it last week that if that is true, then we should see it week one. And I think we did. He looks strong. He looks focused. He looks confident. He's moving really well. His lower body, I think that's like kind of the thing too. Like there was a play picked out. I don't remember where it is. There was actually a good, really, really good QB school video on Matthew Stafford's week one performance. If I remember, I will put it in the comment section below. But if I don't, then, or in the description below. But if I don't, QB school on Netflix. It's JT Sullivan, a former NFL quarterback, and he breaks down film. He does a bunch of college guys as well. So actually really informative stuff and really, really cool. I really like watching those videos. He seems like he knows what he's talking about. Obviously, we know that, you know, he wasn't like a superstar or anything like that, but he was an NFL quarterback. He was in these locker rooms and stuff like that. He does a very good job of breaking down what is happening. And he had very, very positive things to say about Matthew Stafford, but as he should. I mean, that was a good game. He did a great job, and offensive line held up really well. But that all being said, I don't know if we will see QB2. I'm hoping we don't see QB2 at the very least, right? That's kind of the point, is that you hope that you don't need your backups. So, yeah, all things go well, then Matthew Stafford should just take all of the snaps this year. Unfortunate news coming out of the New York Jets with quarterback Aaron Rodgers unfortunately out for the season. There are now only three quarterbacks starting in the NFL who have won a Super Bowl before. That does include Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and our very own Matthew Stafford. Stafford is now also the oldest starting quarterback in the NFL at this time. It was going to be Aaron Rodgers, or it was Aaron Rodgers for four plays, and now going to be Matthew Stafford for the foreseeable future. We'll see how it all unfolds. But a lot of quarterback things going down right now, and obviously it's the most important position on the field, and obviously when you have a good one, you feel pretty good about it. And yeah, I gotta say, like, I've talked about this kind of a lot, but the entire feeling of the Aaron Rodgers trade, like, I kind of try to relate it back to the Sam Bradford day, that preseason game against the Browns, where it was like, all right, we get our quarterback back, let's get him loose, let's get him going, and then he tears his ACL again in Cleveland, and it was just, like, such a bag of bummers. So that's kind of where my brain went with it. Or if you wanted to relate it to more recent times, then, like, imagine that 2021 week one against the Bears, Matthew Stafford plays four plays and goes out for the season. He doesn't get that deep ball off to, say it's that play, that Van Jefferson play. Maybe he hits that play action, roll out to the left, and there's an edge rusher just right up in his butt cheeks, and he's just right there and just dominating him, and then takes him down, you know? So that kind of stuff, it's very unfortunate it happens. The only positive that I can kind of seek out and kind of pull from this news of Aaron Rodgers, and because obviously, I mean, that sucks. Like, I'm not a Jets fan. I don't really care for Aaron Rodgers, but it sucks, dude. Like, it's, we all can kind of relate to that emotion of, like, you finally feel like you're there. You finally feel like you're super sick, and then right away that happens. It's got very big, like, Trent Green vibes of, like, tearing his ACL in the preseason, and then, like, Isaac Bruce throwing it. He's, like, slamming his helmet down. He's all mad. Because that's the thing, too, is, like, I'm not sitting here saying, I would never say that Zach Wilson is like Kurt Warner, but the story's there. It's, the dominoes are set up. Is Wilson going to kick him over or not? That is kind of the question here. So the storyline is there. Is Zach Wilson the guy that can put it together? I don't know. But also, who really thought that Kurt Warner was going into that game, you know, going into the season? Did we really think, like, I mean, maybe you did. Maybe you did, but, like, I mean, being undrafted, he bounces around all this stuff. He's like arena guy. Was anybody legitimately like, no, this guy's actually very good. You guys are going to be in a good spot. Like, I don't think anybody was saying that. It was like after the first game that it was like, holy crap, this dude can play actually, you know? But also, Zach Wilson has played before. And, well, let's just say it wasn't that good. So hopefully something has happened here. And we'll see that team kind of unfold. But either way, I'm trying to relate that to the Rams just because it's unfortunate news. Obviously, I just wanted to mention it. And we're talking quarterbacks pretty heavy right now, so that's good stuff. And also, while we're speaking of quarterbacks, you got to talk about the quick Geno Smith moment where he's yelling, oh my God, as Aaron Donald's free running at him. I see a lot of people talking trash about Geno Smith about this. That is the proper human reaction to seeing Aaron Donald running free at your face. And he likes to murder people, right? That is like, we kind of feel like he's got that in him, Aaron Donald, that is. So, yeah, he wasn't going to just go in soft. He was going to destroy Geno Smith's entire soul. So, yeah, that's the proper reaction. Yell, oh my God, and throw them all away. I would have done the same thing. I would have been way worse, actually. I would have Kyler Murray'd it. I would have seen Aaron Donald, and I just would have fallen to the ground like a toddler, because that's what Kyler Murray does. That's also what Sheriff Joe Bags does. That's right. We'll move into the rest of the West. Not a whole lot as far as like news goes right now. Kind of want to wait till the season kind of digs in a little bit deeper until we really dive into what these other division opponents are up to and kind of seeing how the season unfolds, of course. But your Los Angeles Rams sitting in first place with a 1-0 record, 1-0 in the division with that win over the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle week one. That is obviously awesome. You know, there's so many ways that you could start a season. But as like a team that won 5 games last year going to a division opponent that was in the playoffs last year, and all you got to do is just show up and just kind of do your best, you kind of feel like, you know, and I know that that was kind of the vibe of, around the fan base. I feel like I was one of the only optimistic fans, and that's totally fine. Optimistic or pessimistic, there's no wrong way to be a Rams fan. But I'll be honest, I didn't really see anything that shocked me. Like, it's like 2-2 maybe. I would give that a little bit. But also, we've heard extremely positive things about 2-2 all camp and stuff. So it was kind of like, yeah, this is. I mean, they weren't lying. That's all I felt about that. I was like, oh yeah, they were telling the truth. It wasn't just coach speak being like, yeah, I really like what he's doing. He's a hard worker. You know, like, you kind of pick out that kind of stuff. But obviously, a road division win to kick off the season, exactly what you want to do. And of course, hosting the San Francisco 49ers this week, which we'll get into here in a bit. Speaking of the 49ers, also 1-0, they took that win in Pittsburgh or against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if it was in Pittsburgh or not, actually. I don't remember, but either way, oh no, it was on the road. So, because I don't believe they've had their home opener yet. I think that's next week for the 49ers. But of course, at the Los Angeles Rams this week. But again, we'll talk about that game here in a moment. The Arizona Cardinals sitting in third place, legally speaking here, because they are also 0-1 with the Seahawks. But Seahawks with that division loss, Arizona Cardinals just losing to Washington. This week, they do host the Giants. They played really well. Well, I mean, I use that term pretty loosely here. They played okay against the Washington Commanders. Come away, they did lose. So that is something to consider, of course. But the New York Giants, they looked god-awful on Sunday Night Football. So I didn't leave that game thinking that the Dallas Cowboys were really sick. I left that game being like, dang, these Giants are terrible, man. Like, I don't know. There's nothing that Dallas was doing that I was like, holy moly, who's going to stop these guys? It was like, who's going to lose to the Giants? Because that is terrible. I do think there's a bit of a bounce back, though, this week. And Arizona, not very good football team. And I think they'll kind of be like one of those teams that we feel like is like, well, they're better than we thought they were going to be, but they're going to be losing by like 10 points every game. So obviously they lost by 5. I know. But then, of course, Seattle Seahawks going on the road to take on the Detroit Lions. Can you say 0-2? Well, I certainly hope so. Detroit Lions, of course, coming off that big old win on Thursday Night Football against the Kansas City Chiefs, which is awesome stuff there. And before we move into the game preview here, some quick transactions. So officially, Brett Maher is on the active roster for the Rams. The Rams also signed tight end Miller Forrestall to the practice squad. Also, Brandon Wright, the punter, added to the practice squad as well. And I have questions about the team's emotions on like feeling that they needed to bring in a punter for the practice squad. What's really going on in here, right? So obviously we don't know really what's going on, and it may be nothing. Maybe Zach Evans is maybe tweaking something over there, and he's kind of dealing with something that we don't really know about yet. It is Wednesday night now, so I actually haven't even looked at the injury report quite yet. I just got home from work, all right, so leave me alone. But either way, I do think it's a little odd that Brandon Wright, the punter, being added to the practice squad. Is that really a position we need a depth at? Question mark? I'm not really sure. So before we get to move on here to the game preview, just a quick shout out to All Pro Sports, AJ. with the Ram Showcase merch. Definitely snag it on up. This stuff is absolutely awesome. It helps out the show a ton when you do purchase a Ram Showcase shirt. And they are super soft, super cool. And you can check them out. RamShowcase.com is where you find those. And we got three different colors, two different styles and sizes, from like little tiny smalls to like, if you're a big old guy, if you're like a Steve Avila size shirt for Ram Showcase, we got that as well. So RamShowcase.com, that is where that action happens. If you have any interest in advertising or sponsoring a segment of Ram Showcase, please reach out, RamShowcase@gmail.com. That's where I'll be able to answer you the fastest, and I'll get something rolling for you because, well, it's football season, and it's time for it. Hell yeah. So that all being said, let's go ahead and take a quick break here, and on the other side, we'll get into the game preview. 49ers at Rams, week two. Hell yeah, Niners week. Let's go.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at Highland.com.
The Los Angeles Rams hosting the San Francisco 49ers for week two of the 2023 NFL season. Before we hop into the full game preview here, well, we have a Ram Showcase t-shirt giveaway going for you. So all I'm going to need from you is, wherever you can hear me, what I need you to do is drop a comment on just who your favorite Rams player is. And then we will pick a random person. We'll do it on the live stream on Ram Showcase Live on Monday. You can find that on the Ram Showcase YouTube channel as well as Facebook page. And, well, we'll just do that. We'll pull the winner there. We'll do a randomizer on the internet, and we'll do it that way. Then you get to pick out your shirt, your color and size and all that stuff from All Pro Sports. AJ helping me out with another giveaway, getting you a Ram Showcase t-shirt. If you don't want to leave it up to chance, you just want one for yourself, RamShowcase.com. You know, you click on that merch tab, and you can search them right on there. So, again, that is just comment your favorite player wherever you can hear me. If you don't feel like I'm seeing it or anything like that, go ahead and tweet me. Go ahead and send me a message on Instagram or Twitter. Facebook Messenger is not a good spot to reach me, but those other places, definitely reach out to me. I will confirm with you that you are entered by liking it or responding to you in some forum that way. So, let's get into the game preview, though. Like I said, 49ers at Rams. Both teams coming in at 1-1. This game goes down at SoFi Stadium this coming Sunday, September 17th at 1:05 p.m., which, can we stop? Can we stop doing the 1:05s? All right, because the first games aren't over yet, and some of us like to go out for the game, and this just means we miss, like, the first 20 minutes, which is a whole bag of bummers, but either way, I think it's going to be okay because, well, hey, it's Rams football, and we can wait for it, right? Also, if you are a better, Rams are coming in +8 on this one. 8-point favorites for the 49ers when the Rams are at home? Are you kidding me? Hey, I'm hammering that all day. Rams money lines +280, over under is at 44. This is all according to FanDuel. First half spread even at Rams +5.5. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling good about this one. I'll take these, all right? I'm totally taking these. After that game against the Seahawks, seems like this team's hungry, seems like this team's fast, and, well, ready to prove some people wrong. So hopefully that does continue. Quick note on the uniforms for this game, as the 49ers fans are, they're hilarious. Because, well, first of all, the Rams have chosen to wear white uniforms for this game, their white jerseys, which means that the 49ers will be in their reds. The 49ers fans seem to think that this is a 49ers choice, that they have chosen to wear the reds because, quote unquote, it's their, like, their South home or whatever they call it. I don't know. But they're like, oh, it's a home game for us anyway, so might as well wear the reds. It was our choice. The Rams chose whites. In fact, the 49ers kind of jumped the gun a little bit because if you look at their uniform schedule, they thought they were supposed to be in whites for this game. So, yeah, I don't know what you're supposed to do with that information, but it is real. So that's cool. Yeah, but yeah, obviously they both said that they were going to be wearing whites. But of course, that can't happen. Nope, can't happen. So, yeah, of course, the home team does choose, though, meaning that the other team, the 49ers in this situation, will have to switch it up, and they'll be in their reds. So some milestones that we're looking for in this game, Matthew Stafford getting real snug in here, which is really cool to see. He needs just 191 passing yards to pass Peyton Manning for third most in first 200 games. And he does have until, I think it's week 9 or 10, somewhere in that range, to get this, which is 191 passing yards. So keep your eyes on that. Should be able to pass Peyton Manning in that respect. Also, two passing touchdowns to pass Pat Hayden for seventh most touchdown passes in franchise history, which feels insane to me because, Matthew Stafford, if you don't know, feels still pretty new to the Rams. I mean, he played the one full season, then a shortened season. He's already coming in now. Two passing touchdowns to pass Pat Hayden for seventh most all-time in passing touchdowns in Rams history. He does need 4,607 yards to move into 10th all-time in passing yards, passing Eli Manning, and 33 touchdowns to move into top 10 all-time in that category, passing touchdowns. Again, passing Eli Manning. Tight end Tyler Higbee, he does need 58 catches to pass Robert Woods for 8th most in franchise history. So, of course, if he did that in one game, holy moly. But we'll keep our eyes on this number and see how that kind of keeps on whittling down. Did have 3 this past week. It's not guaranteed that he will hit this season. But he is 9th in Rams history right now with receptions and looking to pass Bobby Trees. He does need 2 touchdown passes, Tyler Higbee does, to pass Preston Dennard to move into top 10 franchise history in touchdown receptions. He already does lead that category in tight ends, but could move into the top 10 passing Preston Dennard if he can get 2 more. And defensive lineman Aaron Donald, he does need 10 tackles to pass Alec Ogletree to be 2nd all-time in tackles in franchise history. Laurinaitis still holding the number 1 spot there. He needs 3 fumble recoveries to lead the team all-time in that category, which I was unaware of last week. But hey, 3 feels real, right? He should be able to become the Rams' all-time leading fumble recoverer at some point this season. We get 3. I think that feels real, right? And he does need 2 more starts to move into top 10 in franchise history in game starts. And if you aren't aware, well, this franchise is pretty old and has had some absolute monsters on it. So for him to get into the top 10 of there, obviously, we love to see it. Some connections for you. We have the former Rams on the 49ers, defensive pass game specialist and Nichols coach. That is so specific. It is. What? Such a specific job. But either way, that is Nick Sorensen. And he played for the Rams 2001 and 2002. So he was a player. And then, of course, quarterback Brandon Allen, he did participate as a backup quarterback for the Rams in 2017 and 18. Former 49ers on the Rams, we have secondary coach Chris Beek. 98, he was there. 99 with a different role. 2000 to 2002 with a different role. 2003 with a different role. And then, of course, 2010 as well. Wide receiver coach Eric Yarbs. He was there in 2003, 2004. Offensive coordinator Mike LaFleur. He was there in 2017, 18, and then 19, 20 in a different role. And then, of course, Akello Witherspoon making his return against the 49ers. He played there from 2017 to 2020. And offensive lineman Coleman Shelton, 2018. Just a short timer with the 49ers, which is pretty cool to see. And some teammates here, some former teammates, kind of getting back together here. Of course, Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, they coached together in Washington. I feel like most of us kind of know that one. Raheem Morris and Kyle Shanahan, they coached together in Atlanta and Tampa. Rams linebackers Jake Hummel and Zach Van Valkenburg played with Brock Purdy at Iowa State. Linebacker Ernest Jones played with Debo Samuel at Carolina in college. A.J. Jackson, the Rams starting left tackle, and George Kittle did play at Iowa together. They were both Hawkeyes. And then Jordan Fuller and Nick Bosa. Also, they took the field on the same defense at Ohio State. So really, I mean, obviously the story that we're looking at in this game is very, very simple. The 49ers have won 8 straight regular season games against the Rams. And there's a key word in there, regular season. All right. So obviously we don't want to lose just all the regular season games, but let's also not forget that once it gets to the postseason, Rams are stacking dubs. All right. So that's really cool to see. And obviously, like, going into that game, though, I'll say this, is that, like, the whole story in that NFC Championship game, the Super Bowl was at SoFi Stadium. You were hosting your most hated rival. So you, the Rams, were standing in between the two options of host a Super Bowl in your venue. You get to play at SoFi Stadium, your own Mecca, and you get to play there in a Super Bowl. Or, on the flip side of that, you have to watch your most hated rival take field at your stadium for a Super Bowl. And obviously, it just felt like that the Rams just weren't going to let that happen. Like, just that whole game, the whole way it unfolded. It was a two-possession game in the fourth quarter, going into the fourth quarter, and the Rams end up winning that game. But obviously, that's such a massive, monumental game. And I will say, I don't want to say it takes away all eight of those losses against the 49ers, but it's at least three, right? I mean, that's got, like, it counts for so much, all right? You can have all the regular season wins you want if we meet in the playoffs and we win those. I mean, I'll take that. Obviously, it sucks, though. You don't want to keep losing to your rival. So this is a good opportunity to kind of change that narrative a little bit. Obviously, the 49ers looked really good last week. The Rams looked really good last week. So kind of both teams kind of just button heads here. And you got a tale of two teams, really. You have a team in the 49ers who everybody feels very confident is going to be very competitive this year. And a lot of people are picking them to, A, go to the Super Bowl, and B, maybe win it. So there's not a lot of people picking the Rams to do that. So that's where the separation comes. Like, the Rams and 49ers both did great last week. But of course, going into this game, it just, the media, and, like, obviously the line being an 8-point line here, obviously there's a lot of separation in the vibe of like what each, or like what media thinks that these teams will do by the end of the season. Like, everybody kind of, it feels like most people are kind of looking at that Rams win over the Seahawks as kind of like a, yeah, well, like, we'll see, like, well, can they do it again kind of thing? Like, and also, I think a lot of the comments that I saw were like, oh man, what's up with the Seahawks? Are they not good? It's like, well, or maybe the Rams are sick, you know? So there's also that part of it. So, yeah, I don't know. Either way, this entire storyline of the Rams and 49ers and the 49ers just kind of owning the Rams, that's a word that gets tossed around a lot. Either way, I mean, if the 49ers fans and that team want to celebrate being second best in the NFC multiple years in a row, hey, I mean, more power to them. That's awesome. I would rather go be first place in one season and then kind of fall off the next than just, like, keep being almost good enough but not, you know? And maybe I'm alone there. Maybe my emotions there are kind of geared off of the fact that that's what happened with the Rams, and I'm pretty happy about it. But I see a lot of comments of 49ers fans saying stuff along the lines of, it's like, well, they bought their team in 2021 and they sold out for a win. It's like, well, then why don't you guys do it then? It's not that easy. So, I'm just saying. So that's kind of what the entire storyline going into this week is. And kind of what we're looking at is, if the Rams win, we kind of get that monkey off the back a little bit. We kind of get that okay, cool. Now we can move on. We go to Cincy again, like, next week, and then Indy, Philly. Like, we got a tough stretch ahead of us, but we can kind of get, like, that stank off of us a little bit. You know what I mean? So that'll be obviously good. And then if the 49ers win, it'll be very much just like, oh yeah, this is what they were supposed to do. They're a very good roster, very good team. So. And they are. That's definitely not a lie. They have a very, very strong roster, and we'll see what happens. Like we talked about last week, that Sean McVay tends to kind of have the number of the Pete Carroll Seahawks, and in the opposite way, Kyle Shanahan kind of has the number of Sean McVay and the Rams. So hopefully, obviously, we can get a little bit of a change here. It's been 4 years, four years of regular season losses against our most hated rival. But it's going to break eventually, right? Like, the streaks end, you know what I mean? And it is broken because of that little NFC Championship game that you might have remembered at SoFi Stadium. The whole, you know, the ring me. It was such a beautiful moment, you know what I mean? Good stuff. Also, fun fact here, I saw this from JB Long. So it's the first ever NFL game between a quarterback pick first overall and Mr. Irrelevant. But Of course, like he had also mentioned, JB did in his tweet, that it is also Brock Purdy's the first Mr. Irrelevant in the draft era to throw a pass. So that's cool. I mean, we have the Mr. Irrelevant this year, Deswan Johnson. He was inactive in week one. We also had David Vibora a couple weeks back or years back. Those were the St. Louis years, I guess. Is it also blown anybody else's mind right off that the Rams have now been back in LA for 8 years? Like I've not grasped that fully yet. So they're stacking the time up, but that is absolutely wild. So history of this matchup. Of course, the 49ers do lead the all-time series 77-68-3. This is the 149th all-time meeting between these two. The current streak is the 49ers at 2. Of course, though, like I said earlier, the 49ers have won the last 8 regular season matchups. Very important term there. Regular season. Regular season. Y'all can have those. All right. So regular season matchups, of course, but that NFC Championship game, just that little thorn in there. First ever game between these two came on the 1st of October of 1950. The Rams won that game 35-14. And the most recent game between these two came on the day before Halloween last year, the 30th. And the Rams did fall in that game 14-31 to the 49ers. We talked about it last week as well that Matthew Stafford did not see a game against the Seattle Seahawks. We saw the Wolf, ow, and then we also saw Baker Mayfield at the end of the season. So we did see Matthew Stafford play in both games against the 49ers last year, but obviously it did not come up into our favor. Let's take a peek at the matchup. Put it on up. So the Rams, total offense, third in the NFL without Cooper Kupp. What? Going against the 11th ranked defense of the 49ers. Passing the football, second in the league, 334 from Matthew Stafford and the Rams pass attack. Going against the 18th ranked pass defense in the 49ers. And on the ground, Rams did have a little bit of trouble getting that rolling, tied for 18th. Going against the number one run defense in the 49ers. They absolutely shut down that Steelers run attack, but also kind of just did a great job, especially in the first half against the 49ers. And points being scored, the Rams put up 30, that is tied for 6th, while the 49ers defense just gave up 7, which is 3rd in the NFL. I think it's very important to remember on both sides, Rams and 49ers here, that the next time we play this team, these numbers are going to be very different, all right? So that's just the way it's going to work right now. These are not necessarily averages. These are just what happened last week. So that's all we have to go off of right now. We're not going to dig into last year because, well, that's gone now. That's over there. That's way in the past. We don't need to look at that for at any averages or anything. And obviously, this is a very different team right now. You can already tell it's a different team. The whole vibe is different of this team going into this year than it was last year. And we had some like energetic, you know, games. There was kind of got peppered in there a little bit. We had obviously the Raiders game on Thursday Night Football, Christmas Day against the Broncos, stuff like that. But either way, that's all irrelevant. So these numbers, of course, just come in from week one. We'll kind of follow these rankings as we move on. But the Rams passing attack looking really, really, really strong. And total offense, 3rd in the NFL going into week 2. Absolutely love to see it. I'm not sure how many people really had that as their like a prediction of like, oh man, the Rams are going to light it up and have 2 receivers go over 100 and make Fox give us the most random statistic of all time of Tutu Atwell and Puka Nacua, the first Rams wide receivers under 23 to go over 100 in the same game while it's like while the sun is in this area and it's a full moon and all, like, I don't know, they get pretty deep in these stats. And it was kind of like, I saw that and it was like, what? Like, that's not real. Like, who researches that? That is absurd. But either way, cool numbers. Either way, I mean, Puka and Tutu obviously kicking butt cheeks out here. So it was really cool to see. Our 3-2-C on the offensive side for the Los Angeles Rams. We'll go ahead and kick it off with Matthew Stafford. Stafford looked sick as hell on Sunday in Seattle and obviously looks like he feels good. That's the key, right? He told us he felt good. We kind of just believed it. Some of us did. I took it and was like, yep, he feels great. You know, I don't know how he feels really, but I know some fans too, they were like, he's lying. Like, he looks like he feels good. He played like he feels good in week one, so hopefully that continues. He was moving well. He's seeing the field well. All good right now for number 9, so keep your eyeballs on him. Let's see how the season progresses with this guy, because now he is the oldest starting quarterback in the NFL with Aaron Rodgers going down, so we'll see how he looks by you know, time we get to like week 11, 12, 13. See if he's still, you know, getting that little hip twist and pass like he had. That was such a sick play. And I can't show it on here or anything like that. That play where he did, it was like a quick little play action and then just like boom, boom. And it was sick. So it was on the QB school. JT Sullivan talking about that play specifically and stuff like that. It was just awesome, man. Good stuff. Next up, running back, Kyren Williams. Williams did have more snaps than Cam Akers last week. And so based on how the carries are going here, I know like people keep asking, like, it's like, well, hey, is Kyren Williams going to take the RB1 spot from Cam Akers? It's like, maybe he has. Like, I don't know. Like, he's getting more touches, right? And then I know that the averages on Cam Akers last week were not great, but also, I mean, it's week one. I mean, something that happened last week does not exactly mean like that's just what was going to happen this week. You know what I mean? Like, each game has its own identity, its own rhythm, its own flow. Players feeling good, players maybe not feeling that great going in. And I'm not talking about injuries, but it's like, I know for myself, I'm a radio DJ. It's like some days I'm going in, I'm feeling good, dude. Like, I'm just nailing it. I feel awesome. I'm like hitting the post. I'm getting good jokes. I'm nailing phone calls and all this stuff. Just feeling in line, dude. Feeling into that little rut there and just like, just feeling nice. On the opposite side of that, there's days where I just feel awkward and I'm like, it's not going well. And I'm kind of stumbling over myself and stuff like that. And it happens. And it happens in every profession. I'm sure you at your job or you at school or whatever kind of have that same thing where there's some days you're just like, I'm nailing, I'm good at this. But like, they should be so happy they have me. And there's other days I'm like, I can't believe they let me do this. Like, you know? So I'm sure that's the same with every profession, just like these guys too. Like, maybe Matthew Stafford, it was just a sick day. Or maybe for Cam Akers, maybe it's just he just wasn't really feeling it, you know? But maybe this week he will be. So obviously, we're still dealing with human beings. As much as we like to treat them like fantasy players and pawns and stuff like that, if somebody gets hurt, it's like, well, let's just get them the hell out of here. Let's get the next guy in. And I realize that is how the game is played. And that injuries do happen. I'm not trying to take anything away from that. But there's also just the fact of, like, these are human beings with, like, lives and families and, like, likes and dislikes and hobbies and, like, favorite foods and stuff. Like, I don't know. There's just there's a lot to it in here. So we try to be nice about it. But Cam Akers, either way, I don't expect that whatever happened last week, that just continues into this week. It just, like, is how he is for the whole season. I just don't see that as a legitimate thing. But on the flip side of that, I have Kyren Williams on this list for a reason. And it's because Kyren Williams looked awesome last week. Almost had three touchdowns, his first almost three touchdowns of his career. Did score his first two touchdowns of his career, which is awesome to see. So super cool for Kyren. And I would anticipate and expect that he is going to continue to get a good chunk of carries. We kind of expected this with the way that he was not playing in the preseason games. But either way, I mean, I don't care who it is. Just score touchdowns, right? It's like, just do the thing and do it well. And if it happens to be Cam Akers, hell yeah, Cam. If it happens to be Kyren, well, hell yeah, Kyren. If it happens to be Ronnie, hell yeah, Ronnie. You know what I mean? Like, hell yeah, Zach. Whoever it is, just do the thing. And then my last one here on your three to see on the offensive side of the football is going to go to wide receiver Tutu Atwell. Of course, Puka's week one story is next level. That's some pretty awesome stuff going on for Puka. Who was Darian Kendrick called him Puka Doncic, and that is really cool. What the heck? Why did I not think of that? That's so sick. I changed my fantasy team name to Nakua Matata, but also Tutu Train is it's in the running. We'll see what happens. But Tutu is my pick here, and mainly because Puka here, he had such a sick week one. I feel like a lot of attention is going to go to him now. I mean, with 10 catches, 119. I mean, I think that some focus from the 49ers secondary will go to him. And I will say that the way that Tutu was utilized and also the way that he was running his routes, I will say that he's probably going to be more consistent throughout the season this year if all goes well. I'm thrilled if Tutu can just like have that season where we're like, oh, finally, this is who he was supposed to be, which is really cool. But the way that he was like coming in motion, and so you can get off like the press and stuff like that, and the way that he was running his routes, not very sharp, but very like curved out and stuff. And I liked that with him specifically because it seemed like he was able to kind of push the defender and then just kind of glide away from him with his speed, which is super sick to see. So hopefully that does continue. And that's kind of what I'm watching for, is Tutu in motion and just getting those. Like, he had one where it was he's on the outside, he motions in, and then kind of like the ball snapped, he curves in and around, and it was just a sick play. So obviously, Tutu, we've had our concerns about Tutu in the past, but maybe this is maybe he's turning a corner a little bit, and no pun intended, but or like reference intended there, but maybe he can keep this going, and I'm super pumped to see it. I would absolutely be thrilled to see Tutu. So it's Matthew Stafford, Kyren Williams, and Tutu Atwell as your three to see on the offensive side of the football. Moving over to the defense here. So the 49ers offense obviously did a really good job as well. They are ranked fourth in the NFL coming into this game, but the Rams defense, what up? Rams defense, second in the NFL right now. Of course, it's just one game, so we do got to keep that in mind, but that is absolutely incredible. 49ers offense, 12th in the NFL in passing. The Rams defense, 4th against the pass. 95 yards. That is so awesome. And then against the run, the Rams are 11th. So a little bit higher up than we would think, maybe, with 85. Maybe I'm crazy here. But the 49ers getting it done on the ground, 3rd in the NFL. And then points being scored, tied with the Rams at 6, with 30 points being put up against the Steelers last week. And the Rams defense gave up 13. That is 6th in the NFL. So, of course, one thing to kind of keep in mind here, too, is that a good chunk of all these numbers, and I know that these, like, 95 passing yards, 85 rushing yards, and still, like, that was, like, all in the first half. One of the sickest second-half performances I've seen out of this Rams team, which is absolutely incredible. Let's go into the three to see here, and we're going to start with cornerback Darian Kendrick. So, DK did give up that touchdown to DK Metcalf last week. But I really like the way that he responded. The attitude that DK plays with is very exciting. So I'm pumped to see him. It was really cool to see him on Rams Revealed with JB Long this week and kind of get a little bit of an inside look into the DK brain, which was obviously awesome. I would love to see that. I've been a big fan of DK. Last year I was a big fan of him. I thought that he was going to be the guy that, like, over Durant, but of course that didn't happen. Not a complaint. If my predictions are wrong, that's fine by me, but Darian Kendrick coming in this year, he looks very, very strong, and I'm very pumped to see his 2023 season for sure. So we're keeping an eye on him very closely. Next up, edge rusher Byron Young. So Young, absolutely awesome motor on him. He started with a few harsh angles, of course, but he did clean it up, and he was getting after it. I'm really excited to see what Young looks like as the season ends. So, like, obviously there's a lot of season left. And he's still going, he's going into his second NFL game. So obviously we got to, like, remember that, that part of it. But so he's a little bit raw, but he's definitely got all of the tools to get after it and be such a sick pass rusher. And obviously he's next to Aaron Donald, which is going to be my third of the three to see here. Of course, AD makes the list here. He showed, last week that in any moment, in any given time, he can just embarrass an offensive lineman, which is super cool. It's hilarious to think the people who were kind of talking about this offseason, they were like, hey, AD's falling off, he's not the same guy anymore. But we saw on multiple occasions that it took multiple people to block Aaron Donald, which just tells us Rams fans who have seen this guy play for years, ever since, like, the St. Louis days, that Aaron Donald's still Aaron Donald. So obviously, and when he's, you know, screaming into the face of a quarterback, and that quarterback is yelling, oh my God, and throwing the ball away, That's just your basic human response. That's what you're supposed to scream when Aaron Donald's running free at you, looking to absolutely destroy your soul. That's just the correct thing to do, all right? So that is your game preview. Again, if you would like to be entered for the giveaway for a free Ram Showcase t-shirt, all you got to do is comment below where your or who your favorite Rams player is. Very simple stuff. If you're having issues with that, maybe you're listening to me on a weird podcast platform, anything like that, feel free to tweet or exit, I don't know, post to me. I don't know. What is the verbiage there? Holy crap. And then, or like Instagram, hit me up, comment on a Facebook post on Ram Show, on the Ram Showcase Facebook. And once I like and or respond to you, that's your confirmation that you're in. And then, of course, we'll give that away on Ram Showcase Live, which is going to be, of course, taking place after or on Monday, which they always are. But I'll try to post the timing of that and when that will happen. You don't have to be present to win. I'll give it some time if you are the winner. We're going to do that right away in the stream, too. So if you do happen to miss that stream, go ahead and click on it. Watch until the giveaway, then bounce if you need to. That's totally fine. That's kind of a place just to kind of hang out and chat Rams, which is really fun. But we'll do that pretty quick in the Ram Showcase Live on Monday and get you a Ram Showcase shirt. Again, if you don't want to leave it up to chance, ramshowcase.com. That's absolutely where you can find yours. But now it is time to dive into a segment that hasn't been part of Ram Showcase in a little while, but I'm pumped about it, of course, as the return of Fan Quesos back into your souls. So, hell yeah. We did get a new partnership with Broad Street South, so we need to push an hour, all right? I'm not going to lie to you here. We need to push an hour. So I was like, oh, man, what could I do? I don't want to just ramble for another 15 minutes because I've been floating about 45 minutes for a Ram Showcase episode here. But I was like, you know what? I missed something. They missed something. Let's do it. Fan Quesos making their return. We're going to go ahead and start with this question here from Jason. It says, in your opinion, is Stetson on the non-injury IR list because he's just not ready to be the number two yet, and McVay doesn't want him poached off the practice squad? I got to say, Jason, I really don't think that this is it. I would be surprised if this was it. What I will say is that I think that if the Rams are just trying to stash him and not have him like be a poachable or whatever the word is there, I think that they would just keep him as a QB3 and just kind of hang on to him that way. So, again, it's kind of out of a respect thing that I don't really want to dive into it or go into the speculation of what could potentially be going down with Stetson Bennett, because it's really none of our business. And the way that story is being sold right now, it does feel like it's none of our business. This one here coming from Brett says, will Kyren swoop the starting spot from Cam? That's kind of what I've talked about a little bit here, is that that may already be a thing. It's maybe what we've seen already, man. But either way, I think that we're going to see a 1-2 from them for the bulk of the year. I think that's just kind of what to expect now. And unless one of them gets hurt, we're going to see a mix of carries between those two. The only thing that I'd like to see is that Cam Akers really isn't a slam it up the A-gap kind of guy. And we did that a bunch. So, I would hope that shifts and, we can see some variations on the usage of Cam, because I'll be honest, I just didn't feel like he was really put into positions to be super successful. Although he was able to score that touchdown, which was super sick. And then next up here is, did you notice Tutu does well when we throw men in motion before the snap? Yeah, absolutely. He's a smaller guy, who's super freaking fast. So that tends to be, something that, helps these guys. These types of players, smaller guys who are super quick, it just helps them get open, is when they cannot be standing still and try to go 0 to 60, but they're like floating like a 40 to 60 kind of thing. You know what I mean? So, I definitely did notice it and surprised that we haven't seen that before. But again, I think that's the Mike LaFleur effect. I don't know if I said that right. The Mike LaFleur effect, because obviously, him coming in and being a bit of a different type of coach than Sean McVay, obviously, I think he's kind of reining him in a little bit and keeping things balanced. So I think that this is something that we're seeing as part of just the awesomeness that is Mike, and pumped to have him as the offensive coordinator, honestly. So I do think that's part of it. But yeah, of course, it just makes sense that that Tutu would have some success just hitting that motion before he's able to take off on the line. That way you can't get pressed. You already kind of have a little bit of speed, and then you just turn it all the way on, and he's already super fast. So yeah, it's I did notice it, and it is awesome. Hope to see that continue. Next question here from Brett. Will Jefferson be a big part of this offense going forward? That's a tough one to answer, honestly, because, he didn't play great, but he also didn't play terrible. I know he had that bad drop that everybody's kind of focusing on right now. Drops happen. Puka had a drop. Kadarius Toney, dude, that, I mean, he's not that bad, right? So I think that, we're going to be okay. And I think Van's going to be okay. I think that, like, it's a long season. I think that's one thing to remember here too, is it's a very, very long season, and Van Jefferson having one game where he's kind of not lighting it up while two other guys do, I don't think that that's just an indication that it's like, oh, well, maybe Van Jefferson's done. I do think this is his last year as a Ram, and not in a negative way. I don't want him to leave, really. I like Van Jefferson, but to see some of these young guys kind of pop like they have, and also we still get Cooper Kupp back, I'm just not sure Van Jefferson really has, like, we don't have, like, a glaring need, I guess, for Van Jefferson. Although, like I said, I do like him. I hope he sticks around. I'm predicting that this is his last season with the Rams. Next question here from Brett. Is the O-line we stick with... Wait, is this the O-line we stick with since they did so well in the passing game? Dude, I mean, yeah, they crushed it in the passing game. Straight up. I like Noteboom at right guard. AJ Jackson at left tackle is super sick. Him and Steve together, dude. Those guys on the left side. Left side, strong side right now, dude. Hell yeah. Well... I like the right side too, actually. I like our entire offensive line, and I know that a lot of people were nervous about it going into the season and stuff like that, but, like, I never really felt that. I never was like, oh, this is just not good. It's we had injuries last year. Injuries. I say that like that because it was a billion of them, it seemed like. I think I was getting phone calls to play left tackle at some point. I did say no. I can't do it. So... yeah, I think that this offensive line is going to be who we stick with, and, like, unless there's injuries, which obviously we hope not, but, they happen. It's part of the NFL. It's not just a contact sport. It's a violent sport. And so that's got to be considered, of course. Next one here from Brett. Is Byron Young the backer we've been looking for to get pressure off the edge? Definitely possible. I think it's important to remember, though, that Dante Fowler and Leonard Floyd both had, like, their best times while pass rushing next to Aaron Donald. So I don't know if we can really ever judge Byron Young as long as he's rushing quarterbacks with Aaron Donald also. So I don't know, man. I like Byron Young. I like his energy. He's got a great motor. He seems to get after the quarterback. He's good at football. I hope so. Yeah, we'll just kind of see how his career unfolds. It's been one game, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, dude, he's the man. Like, put him in the Hall of Fame. Retire number zero. You let him be the only one ever. I'm not saying that yet. So, we'll just watch that unfold. And then, next question here. Will we see Kevin Dotson move into the starting lineup? I'm not sure. I don't see why we would do that. Like, I don't know why there would be a plan to do that right now. I do think that Dotson was brought in to be depth. So no is going to be my guess here, unless we do see some injuries on the offensive line. Next question. Will we continue to throw a backer on giant receivers to press them off the line, or just the one-time thing because Metcalf's a freak athletic ability? So I hated that with my whole heart. Michael Hoyt has no business trying to cover DK, and I realize what was happening, and there's, like, a little bit of a weird mix-up going on there, and just trying to, like, I don't know what was called. I don't know what Raheem was like. If we do this, and then they do this, and then we do this, and then they do this, like, there might be some process to it, but either way, seeing Michael Hoyt lined up over DK Metcalf, I was like, well, this sucks. Like, this is stupid, and I hate all this. And it happened two plays in a row. I was like, can we not do this, please? Like, can we maybe not do that? Michael Hoyt was moved to an edge rusher. Let's let him edge rush, all right? We don't need him trying to cover some of the most athletic wide receivers in the NFL. And next question here. If Kyren takes the starting job, do you see us still keeping Cam as the backup, or maybe utilize him in a trade? If he takes the job, of course. I don't think there's really a job to take or not take, man. I really do think it's a running back by committee. I think that they are a bit of a combo pack right now. The Kyren and Cam combo pack is definitely something I think that we are seeing at this moment. So it's not that whoever takes the first rep at running back, that's not like that's the starter and he's going to do everything today. That's just not the way it works, especially with the Rams. So we should see Kyren and Cam both getting their fair share. So I don't think that they in the building, I know that, like, depth charts come out and we see that Cam Akers is number one and Kyren Williams is number two on the depth chart. I don't think that the teams really care about the depth chart that they send out to, like, the media and to, like, that they post on the website and stuff like that. I don't think it's really that important. I think it's that's for the fans to kind of just talk about, right? So I really do think that when we see RB1, RB2, the team sees these are our two running backs that we like to utilize, so let's utilize them. I really, really do think that that's it, man. I really don't think that there's like an RB1, like Cam Akers is like at risk of losing his job. I think that they are RB1 A and RB1 B is really what I'm thinking here. So as far as taking a job and losing a job, I don't think that that's a thing that's happening right now. We will see snap percentages kind of fluctuate as the season goes on, of course. We already saw Kyren Williams take more reps than Cam Akers did in week one. So if we're talking about taking jobs, maybe it's already a thing. Maybe it's already there. Maybe if Kyren Williams is going to be getting the bulk of the carries and reps, then we can already say that he's the top guy as the Rams running back. So there's a lot of moving pieces to the depth charts and rosters and all that stuff. But I really do genuinely think, man, that they're kind of a combo pack right now. It's the Akers and Williams show, and it's not that one's ahead of the other or below the other. It's just that they are rushing the football. Those are the two guys. So that's what we're doing here. And then Tyler coming in with is Puka the next great number 17? That boy can play, dude. Absolutely. He's in position to be that guy. For sure, which is really cool to see. Obviously, we've seen a lot of wide receivers come into this team and be very, very good. The Rams have done a few positions real well, historically speaking. Running back, wide receiver, defensive line. Like it seems like the Rams, historically speaking, are super, super sick in those positions. And it looks like Puka Nacua, all indications say that he should be the guy that is just kicking butt cheeks all year long. I do think that there's going to be times where he has like one catch for like 14 yards or something like that. He's still a rookie and he's still learning. Let's keep that in mind. But obviously he is very talented. And I think we got to also just remember that he can be this guy. And we'll see how long he keeps it going, man. I'm not trying to say that he can't or won't or anything. But of course he is a rookie. He's going to have those mistakes. He's going to have some days where other guys are really popping and he's just not getting the looks. But he does have all the indications that he is going to be a guy for the Rams for a long time and hopefully for an extended period. I know some Rams fans are already wanting to sign him to a contract extension. But we got to wait. We got 4 years with him and, let's see how these 4 years go, man. Let's at least see how this 1 year goes, before we, starts up fitting him for his triple crown hat or his triple crown, I suppose, is what it would be actually called, and joining the ranks of Cooper Kupp. All right, so I think we just need to just let it unfold. Let's just let it unfold. That's kind of where I'm at with it. Next question here coming from Payo Time over on the Ram Showcase YouTube channel. You can also I will be posting there as well. Just a little post, where you can comment your fan quesos there. Get them to me however you see fit. I do post on social media or on like the Facebook page, the Ram Showcase Facebook page. I'll post there so you can leave your fan quesos. And I usually like to do them day of, because if I don't, well, people tend to repeat a lot of questions and then I have to sift through a billion. That's not actually true, but either way, moving on. Payo Time. Payo says, how much potential do you see with this offensive line unit? Very solid question there, man. I'm not surprised though. Like whatever we just saw out of this offensive line of them just like holding it down the pass game and having some solid moments in the run game. Of course, it wasn't always solid, but Steve Avila obviously being a very big plus in this realm so far. I think that the potential is very high, and as long as everybody stays out there, the best ability is availability, and as long as everybody's out there, we do have a very, very strong offensive line. So the potential is there. It is a very, very good line. But I've been talking about this whole time about how sick this offensive line is. And he says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how impressed are you with them after just this one game? I'm gonna put it at like a 7, and I feel like some people might feel like that's low, but I will say that I think that I'm putting it there because I'm not surprised with what I saw. I'm really not. And I know that some fans probably be like, that's bogus. But like, that's not. I've go back and listen to all my previous shows, man. I feel good about this offensive line. I feel good about this team. And again, I was not really surprised by anything that we saw in week one against the Seahawks. Outside of like that second half, which is absurd. I mean, I didn't think that was going to happen. But either way, man, not surprised. So pumped about it. That is going to do it for this episode of Ram Showcase, though. We got week two coming in, coming at ya. Get the 49ers coming to town, SoFi Stadium. This game takes place on Sunday, of course. If you're going to be there, hell yeah, get loud. Get loud. And definitely rock your gear, all that stuff, because it's going to be an awesome time. It's Niners week. It's Niners week. And it's still September. Hell yeah, absolutely love to see it. Make sure to follow Ram Showcase on all your favorite social media. That would be at Ram Showcase, Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Ram Showcase. You can follow myself as well, at Sheriff Joe Bags, just about everywhere. And then also, of course, hitting up at RamShowcase.com, where you're going to find the bulk of the information there. So that is going to do it for me. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports War Radio, the Fan Side of Network, and Broad Street South. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for listening. Go Rams.